one of the really nice things about blockchain is it's going to be better for title because everybody, you know, right now, title records are stuck in, you know, the basement of the courthouse and you need a title company. I think you're still going to need title company to verify stuff. But at some point, all that title is going to be sitting there on a blockchain that somebody can just publicly go and verify.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Michael Flight has been a real estate professional since 1986. He founded Concordia Realty in 1990 and partnered with institutional and individual investors in over $600 million worth of commercial real estate. He is also an expert on retail real estate and blockchain, which is really what we're going to get into on today's episode. So if you're looking for kind of the premier expert on blockchain and real estate, Michael is your go-to guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him at the IIREC conference in Los Angeles here this past January. And I'm really just excited to jump in today. Michael, welcome to the show.
Sam, I have been looking forward to this podcast ever since we met in California. And, you know, we just talked about a huge range of topics and even covered a little bit of real estate, but your other interests were just really fascinating. So I love talking to you. I'm looking forward to talking to you some more.
Well, and thanks for taking the time. I remember out there, you were super generous also, you know, in the time you gave so many of us with thousands of questions that we threw at you as it pertains to blockchain, real estate, and those, you know, that topic in general. I am outside of my league on this conversation. So I'm going to have to really rely on you heavily on this show, not to sound like a complete idiot. I mean, you can't spare me from that entirely, but maybe just a little bit. So I guess, you know, there's three questions, though, before we get into that, Michael, that I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started at a Nothing Down seminar in 1984 and 1985. I can't remember which it was. My brother and I went to a Nothing Down seminar. Then we went to a real estate broker and he said, you guys can't buy anything because you don't have a job. So I went and changed from being Lutheran pastor, because Greek and Hebrew were also a sign from God that I should probably go into something else. And I switched to business and went into real estate. So I became a real estate broker in 1986. I've been licensed since 1986. Never sold a house because I'm in commercial real estate. And it is a long, winding path, you know, so I'm not sure that we could get it done in the amount of time we have, but went to work for a syndicator, went and met a lot of people at that company. They ended up in really good positions in institutional insurance companies and publicly traded companies and all the rest of it. Partnered with those people that I met in the 1980s through the 1990s and 2000s, pioneered demalling, which is tearing down malls and creating something else in the late 1990s, and hung around with a lot of smart people who were talking about Bitcoin and blockchain, you know, 2015 through 2017, and said, I want to create a real estate stablecoin. So that's how I'm here.
Okay, man, that's great. I love that. That's a lot of moving pieces there. So 2015 to 2017, you became interested in blockchain, in, you know, in this whole space. So tell me, where are we today and where do you see it going?
I say we are like at before the dot-com bubble, if you were around in, you know, 1990s. We're before the bubble. There is all kinds of stuff. And what I like to explain blockchain as is just like the internet was a way for instantaneous communications anywhere in the world. Blockchain is a way to transfer value, money, or assets anywhere in the world. And it's not using a banking system. So it's basically like the internet for the financial system. And so at some point, you know, people aren't even going to know that there's a blockchain. They're just going to know that I want to send money here, or I want to like buy a piece of property in Africa, or I want to buy a piece of a resort in El Salvador. And they're just going to like, you know, open up their phone. Their phone is going to have a wallet and they're going to use their money of choice. They're going to own all their assets. They're going to control all their money. It's not going to be in a bank. And they're just going to be able to trade, hopefully, frictionless worldwide. Now, a lot of things called governments that are putting up impediments to doing that, and there's things called regulations that make that a little more difficult, but that's, you know, kind of at some point you won't even care that there's a blockchain, you'll just do a transaction.
How is, so you say this is pre-dot-com bust, I guess. Do you see a bust happening in the Bitcoin, Ethereum?
I don't necessarily see a bust. So, but saying that, you know, there was all this activity, there was all this, you know, entrepreneurial stuff. There was like what we like to call creative destruction. There was people putting money in the stuff that should have never happened. And it's the same thing. It's like Bitcoin started out in, I'm going to, you know, lose the year, but like 2009, 2010. And people saw that this was, you know, going. And then all of a sudden, you know, around 2015 to 2017, there was just like really, you know, Cambrian explosion of all these things called ICOs, which were initial coin offerings. And anybody with a website and, you know, a white paper was raising billions of dollars. And, you know, you had all these coins out there, and then everything crashed. And so now we're back to people have been actually building out the rails of the system. And it's exactly like the 1990s, where they built out, you know, fiber optics, they built out, you know, TCP/IP, they built out all these data centers. And it's the same thing now. There's the rails of the financial system are slowly being built up. There's people putting huge amounts of capital, and banks and, you know, governments are putting money into this. And, you know, it's where you will have digital money. And we can get into that later about, you know, how scary that is when a government, you know, controls your digital money, and why you might want something that, you know, you have more control over.
Yeah. So that's kind of the where we are right now. How does this intersect with real estate, commercial real estate?
Oh, that is a great question. That's why I'm here. So I asked the question of very smart people around me that now are like really, really wealthy, who were doing blockchain and investing in, right, you know, coins and things, you know, in the early years. And I kept saying to them, I don't understand, why isn't Bitcoin just fiat currency? Because all that's behind it is an algorithm. And number one, I went to a public school, so I don't do math. So I didn't understand, you know, how that whole, but I'm like, isn't it just basically a software project? And why wouldn't you just take it and tie it to gold or real estate? That way you get a stable coin that was actually based on a tangible asset that, you know, like I always, you know, tell people, it's like real estate has the world's most proven track record. You know, it's been around, you know, and they've been trading it, they've been fighting over it, and people generationally have, you know, stored wealth in real estate. And that's, you know, not going to go anywhere. The only way they're making new stuff is they're either doing it in Dubai with, you know, pumping sand into the ocean or volcanoes. So I believe that if you take blockchain technology, which allows value transfer, and you combine that with real estate, you can open up real estate to liquidity. You can open up real estate to people that right now can't get into real estate. And you can open up, you know, just worldwide capital, because real estate is the world's largest asset class. It's $280 trillion.
That's really, I mean, I love the idea conceptually. I love the concept, but what does that mean practically? How does this get built out? How do real estate investors get in front of this? If this is 1997 for email, how do we get in front of it?
All right. Well, that is an excellent question. And it's why it's taken me and our company so long to get, you know, things launched, because the technology can do certain things, but they didn't build it. So, but conceptually, the technology can do certain things. And then the technology can do certain things which are illegal, like, you know, it ends up being money laundering, or, you know, it ends up being a security which is regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Right now, though, if you're doing normal syndications or you're doing private real estate investment, you can do a normal real estate syndication, and just by adding language to your offering memorandum or requesting that your general partner who you're investing with say to them, you know, is there the language in here that makes this, number one, you can issue it to a blockchain, and number two, makes it tradable. So just by having that in the offering memorandum, it doesn't ever have to be issued to a blockchain, but it's at least ready to go. And then when the trading systems and a lot more of the technology is built out, which has been happening and will be happening within the next few years, your particular, you know, investment will have another opportunity. You can either refinance it, you can sell the property, or you can issue, you know, the tokens, and then your investors have the opportunity to trade out of the deal.
Right. Can you, just for our listeners' sake, maybe they haven't listened or studied this as much, break down the difference between, say, a Bitcoin and blockchain?
Sure. So a Bitcoin is issued on a blockchain. So the Bitcoin, each individual Bitcoin is part of the blockchain. So it makes a blockchain. There are other blockchains out there that are just set up so that they do have, you know, a monetary unit like a Bitcoin, but they are more set up to do transactions, whereas Bitcoin is kind of like a store of value. And because it's, I'm going to get into some things, it's mined by proof of work. So the computers have to solve these algorithms, and you have to expend energy to solve the problems. That's called proof of work mining. There's other blockchains out there that are much faster and, you know, much less energy intensive, and that's called proof of stake. So just like if you're in a poker game, you'd put up your stake. If you're going to validate on these chains, you need to put up, so these blockchain, you know, things, they're basically, I like to call the layer one blockchains a combination of the AT&T telephone company and, you know, a banking system, or, you know, like a actual communications network. So, but it's a communications network for financial systems. But in order to validate that the transactions went through, people put up money. And if they're a bad actor, or they come up with the wrong, you know, the wrong answer, they actually lose their money. That's why it's proof of stake. So they have something at risk. So the incentive is to do it correctly, and then you get, you know, money for validating the transaction. And those transactions end up being less expensive than sending a wire transfer, and they end up being confirmed within a minute or two, versus if a bank sends a wire, you don't know that the wire has gone through, especially internationally, you know, for 7 days.
Right, right, which is just astoundingly slow.
Right.
How is blockchain currently being leveraged in commercial real estate?
Blockchain is currently being leveraged in commercial real estate in a number of ways. So there's the low-hanging fruit, and you had initially, when we were offline, you had asked about, you know, NFTs and security tokens. I'm more interested in security tokens, which are tradable, you know, legal securities in the United States, and they're tradable legal securities, you know, in different parts of the world that have, you know, regulatory. So securities, everyone, you know, the difference between a non-fungible token is everyone is unique. Securities, they're all pretty much the same. So if you have 10 shares of, you know, you do self-storage, correct?
I've done some of that. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
My hands in a lot of different asset classes, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. So if you do 10 shares of, you know, a self-storage, you know, partnership,
yep,
those shares are all basically the same, except if there's different classes. On a non-fungible token, each one is unique. So I like to say you can invest in shares in a commercial real estate project, or each individual house in the United States could each be its own individual non-fungible token. So because each one is a little bit different, a little bit unique.
Sure.
So that's, you know, how we like to differentiate there. I think, you know, one of the things that's going to happen, and surprisingly here in Chicago, Cook County, is doing an experiment where they're putting titles on a blockchain, because blockchains are kind of like a fly in amber type of thing. You can't go back and change it. Mm. So it's, you know, distributed ledger, and there's a lot of people verifying it. So if you go back and try to change that one block that's already back up 100 blocks, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle fitting together. It has to fit together exactly. And if it doesn't fit together exactly, then everybody else that's validating on the blockchain realizes that somebody's trying to commit fraud or do something bad. Right, so one of the really nice things about blockchain is it's going to be better for title, because everybody, you know, right now, title records are stuck in, you know, the basement of the courthouse, and you need a title company. I think you're still going to need title company to verify stuff, but at some point, all that title is going to be sitting there on a blockchain that somebody can just publicly go and verify.
Right. And access to information on that side. I mean, the archaic, it's so county by county, the archaic title system. I mean, that's one of the things I'm excited about. I cut my teeth in this business in the foreclosure markets.
Right.
And I knew the county title office really, really well. I mean, every county, we had our own system for getting in and going, okay, what is, because we were, you know, reviewing hundreds of deals a week. And it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, just a very clustered up. So it's good to, you know, think in the future that this will be so easy, you know, to access. What about, so you were talking about security tokens, which I think is really interesting. So if I understand this correctly, you're going to put this language in your offering memorandum, says, hey, you know, this can be issued to the blockchain in the future. This will become a security token. I mean, everybody sets their own dollar amount for what, you know, a share is worth. It's either a dollar or $1,000 or $50,000. I mean, it doesn't really matter. One of the things that has been that's interesting to look at in this space is that potentially you can now trade fractions of those shares, you know, to where you're not necessarily finding a replacement buyer for 50 grand to take your spot. You could sell it for $100. I mean, is that kind of where we're going with this? Is to really,
well, theoretically, but it really also depends on the issuer. So if you are the issuer or I'm the issuer and I'm issuing shares in our fund. So for example, in our fund, the minimum investment is $50,000, and we made the shares $10,000 a piece because it just, you know, makes it easier to do. But the really cool thing is, after 1 year from being issued to a blockchain, they become fully tradable. And so, for example, our fund is a 506C, but you could also do this with a 506B, but it'd be a lot more difficult because you'd have to have a pre-existing relationship. I don't really want to get into securities laws, but our fund is a 506C. And after a 1 year lockup period, those shares can trade. So let's say a person buys $100,000 and they want to divide up, like myself, I've got two sons. So I'm going to give 30,000 to one son, 30,000 to the other son, and keep 40,000 for myself. So one of my sons decides that he's going to trade those. After a 1 year lockup period, those shares can trade to an accredited or non-accredited investor. So it can get non-accredited investors into quality real estate that's already been seasoned for a year, so they can see that there's a 1 year track record. So
that's interesting. I hasn't really thought about that. I mean, the thing is, for most of us though, when we get in a deal with the intention of riding it out. Most of us don't actually really want to trade. I mean, I've got plenty of deals I'm in right now, and you ask me to exit, I'd be like, no.
Right. So there's like several really cool things about security tokens. So number one, you've got the ability to potentially exit if you have a life situation that you need to, or otherwise you just stay in it like your normal, you know, 3, 5, or 7, or 10 year, you know, real estate syndication. But the other really cool thing is that, and this is really going to depend on who the issuer is, but for example, in our token, you can get paid in not only dollars with a ACH payment directly into your bank account, but you could also take your money in what's called a USD stablecoin. So it's US dollar denominated. So it's one for one with the dollar, but it's actually cryptocurrency. So you're actually not getting it into a bank account. You're getting it into your own wallet. So you can control that. Number two, you can also take your money in Ethereum or another cryptocurrency. And so you're actually dollar cost averaging out of the dollar banking system. And then you control your own assets. So let's say you're still invested in our deal, but you decide that you're going to like winter in Costa Rica. You don't have to worry about, you know, trying to like get the money out of your bank and transferring and everything else, because your wallet is right on your phone, or your wallet is right with you all the time. So your money is with you crossing, you know, international borders and stuff. So that's one really cool thing. The other really cool thing is, and we've talked to different companies like BlockFi and Compound and Aave, if they get comfortable with the net asset value of the fund, instead of you having to sell your shares, you can actually borrow against your shares. So you can actually open up some liquidity and some leverage on something that you normally can't do with a normal syndication.
That is a game changer. I mean, it's kind of bringing, again, I'm going to talk out of my league a little bit here, but bringing the ability to leverage against stocks and bonds. It's kind of like going to your
brokers,
hey, man, you know, what do they call that? Buying on margin.
Right. You know, borrowing on margin. And, but it's, you know, it's exactly the same thing. And then that's where the third part, when I said that blockchain is probably going to change data. There's companies out there right now that are putting large institutional portfolios. I was just at a conference down in Miami last week with Invenium. And Invenium is taking large institutional portfolios. These are some of the biggest portfolios in the world. And they're taking all the data and putting them onto the blockchain so that not only is the data feeding into what, so for example, I'm just going to back way up. When we started out partnering with institutional investors, we had to go out and buy this giant mainframe to do the, you know, all the bookkeeping on. Right. And then we had to print out every month a three-ring binder that was the literal either 2 or 3 inch three-ring binders of, you know, rent rolls, of balance sheets, of all the rest of the stuff. And so now we're not doing that. We're just sending it electronically in a PDF. But at some point, Invenium, and there's another company called Earn.re, they are feeding that information onto a blockchain. So that is building up onto the blockchain. So that, you know, tracks with the portfolio or tracks with the individual property. And then they've actually got data. So all they have to do when they update their net asset values, it's much easier to do it on a quarterly basis. And at some point, they'll be able to update the values of the properties, perhaps on a weekly or daily basis, which is a huge game changer for all this illiquid private real estate, because you're going to have better data out there that's certified data, because it's going into the blockchain and it's, you know, for it can't be tampered with once it's there.
That'll be really interesting to see what that does to the ultimate pricing that real estate. Where do you think that goes?
It could make real estate a little bit more volatile than it is right now, because, you know, right now you only get a real number if, I mean, because even, you know, an appraisal from an MAA appraiser, it's not a real number. It really right. depends on, you know, if you're financing it, it's going to be one number. If you're doing a net asset value on it, it's another number. And if you're doing it for an estate, it's going to be a very low number. Or if you're, you know, appraising it for your real estate taxes. So you might actually end up paying more in real estate taxes because, you know, the numbers will be more verifiable. And you might have more volatile real estate because you've got better data, but you're also going to have more liquidity because people will trust the data more. Right. And so they'll be able to say, yeah, that's a good number. You know, let's do it. So I'll just, you know, take my $10 and buy this piece of, you know, London office building because I know that, you know, all the buildings around it, you know, are valued at this.
I think what that will ultimately do with a further, you know, with a higher liquidity, more transparency, it'll function more like the stock market, which would be, you know, in the sense that you can trade it, you know, in and out, but that would also typically be a compression of returns as, you know, like, you
well, said. But I also look at it as an opening up of these liquidity pools that are just like right now, just locked in. So I look at it like, and I you know, use this example all the time. Since 1990, because of free markets and because of, you know, people investing in things, they have come out of abject poverty, living on a dollar a day, to there's billions of people that are now in the middle class.
Right.
How do those billions of people in the middle class, they're not all going to invest in the stock market. So how do they get, you know, generational wealth that they can transfer on to their kids? I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing out there. So I believe it's going to be an opportunity for a lot of those people, those billions of people, to get into assets that, you know, because there's only so many stocks to go around, but there's a ton of real estate to go around.
That's true. That's a very, very valid point. Yeah, I think it's going to be, this will be an interesting, you know, next wave to really watch and see how this affects real estate as a whole. Are there any security concerns you have with this? Are there things people should be looking out for? You know, you hear of coins getting stolen, you hear of wallets getting taken, you hear of, you know, lots of different things going on. But talk to us on the security.
So the great, so cryptocurrency, there is a real issue. If you lose your passwords, you've lost your passwords. Or I had a friend who, you know, he had this Dogecoin. He had like 30,000 Dogecoin. And then all of a sudden Doge took off because Elon Musk was like pumping it.
Right.
And, you know, he went to get it, but it was on a laptop that was broken. So he couldn't get the Dogecoin off the, you know, the laptop. So, but with security tokens, since they are securities and since you do have to go through a KYC, which is a know your customer, and anti-money laundering checks, and you know, you have to be verified. The security token, if it is lost or stolen, can be, you know, brought back by the issuer and what they call burned and then reissued. So as long as you can prove that you are who you are, which you already had to do that when you did, you know, the KYC, so they know who you are, you're, you know, registered. And so if something does happen where somebody steals your stuff, or, you know, it's basically probably more secure than even stocks, because most of the time, if you're in the stock market, you never actually have your stock. Your broker controls your stock, or it's with a custodian or all the rest of it. So you never actually have the stock physically or, you know, electronically anywhere. So this is actually a much better and more secure system than that.
Yep, I absolutely love it. Michael, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today and just give us a brief, I mean, glimpse into where we are going with, you know, blockchain technology, commercial real estate. I think this is going to be a fun thing to watch. You guys have a conference, I think, here later this year. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, we started it for the very reason that we realized we had to do a lot of education on this, especially with real estate investors. They're typically a little more conservative, and real estate sponsors are also like, I know real estate, but you know, there's this scary thing out there called cryptocurrency. And what we wanted to do is do a lot more education on security tokens and say, this is potentially, and we firmly believe that this is a better way to issue syndications and to do syndications with real estate and all kinds of other private assets that aren't really, you know, easy to get into. So what we did was the Blockchain Real Estate Summit in Austin, Texas. The first one was in September of last year. We're going to do it again September of this year in Austin, Texas. And the reason why we put it together is we are putting together from beginning to end. It's like, how do you, like, you know, so we brought on in the attorneys, we brought in the accountants, we brought in, you know, the people that do the legal stuff so that it can legally trade. We brought in the tokenization platforms. From beginning to end, you get this education as to, you know, what this is and how do I do this? And so you can start really, you know, it gets your gears clicking as to, you know, okay, so I know these people are doing this, this, and this, and I can see how this happens. And now I'm ready to, like, you know, dip my toe in the water or move forward full on with, you know, issuing a security token offering.
Absolutely awesome. Michael, thank you for your time today. Have learned an absolute ton. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
They can contact me at our website, which is libertyfund.io, or they can, if they're interested in the Blockchain Real Estate Summit, go to blockchainrealestatesummit.com. If they go to our website, libertyfund.io, they can go and click on the report and they can get an actual information as to Blockchain Real Estate 2022. So it just gives a pretty good overview of, you know, what it is, how it happens, and how it works.
Michael, thank you again for your time. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.